What's going on, everyone? This is the Double M Media Show alongside T-Mac.
What's up?
Mike Nice. Unfortunately, we're missing our guy, Dr. Mies, DJ Mies, Marv, whatever
just
you want to call him.
Just the two of us.
So T-Mac and myself will hold it down for tonight. Still going to be a great show. Episode 21.
Man.
The good thing about Double M is if Marv missing, if Mike missing, if T-Mac missing, and we at least got
the show must go on.
The show goes on, and we still pump out great content. So that's what it's all about, and that's what we're going to do here.
Exactly.
Right now. T-Mac, per usual, what is on the playlist for tonight?
Today's playlist, we got to talk about the NBA, and is it the end of all the super teams? We got to definitely touch base on what's going on with that, and are the duos going to cut it? Then we're going to touch base on The Little Mermaid. So we know we have a new cast. Her name is Holly Bailey. And she's
not Berry.
Bailey.
Bailey, okay.
Bailey, okay. She's not related to Holly Berry, okay? But receiving a lot of backlash as well as a lot of support. So we definitely want to talk about the controversy going on with the new movie coming out. And we're also going to talk about Corey Goff, a.k.a. Coco, 15-year-old who just beat Venus Williams in the tennis tournament. Last but not least, we got to end it with our relationship question of the night. Men, will you have a problem if your soon-to-be wife doesn't want to take your last name?
We're going to get to that.
That's a heavy
We're going to get to that.
All right. So let's start off with the balance in the NBA. So now that there's no more trios, there's more so duos, yep. Do you think it's an end to the super teams? So we got LeBron and Anthony Davis with the Lakers. Yep. And then we have KD and Kyrie on the Nets. And you still got Curry and Klay Thompson with the Warriors. So it's, you see a lot of duos going on. Do you think they're done with the trios?
You know what? And then with that list as well, you also have Kawhi and Paul George who are now on the Clippers.
Exactly.
And I mean, first and foremost, I'm happy with the way the offseason broke down. Not the offseason, but the trade, the opening of free agency, and the moves that were made. You know, with the last several seasons, you've seen a lot of players, you know, look to try or an attempt or even make it happen and build someone's super teams. You know,
right.
It started off, the guy who kicked it all off, back in 2010, I believe, 2011, LeBron James, you know, decided to take his talents to South Beach, teaming up with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. They sat on that stage in that big, you know, press conference or whatever, debut, and LeBron sat there with a mic, just like you're sitting there with the mic right now, and he said, they're going to win not four, not five, not six, not seven championships, because he knew in his mind, sitting next to these two all-stars, that they had a super team that probably couldn't be beat. And then as the years following after that, you've always heard during offseason or rumors that, oh, guys are trying to make moves to maybe go here and play with this guy and team up to play this person. It's moves that continue to happen and break out like that. And then fast forward, you had Kevin Durant sign and make a super team with the Golden State Warriors with Curry and Klay Thompson, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. But this offseason with free agency, now guys are a little bit more spread out. You know, there's not three superstar, all-star players on one team. And now it's not just the Warriors who you expect to run away with the league and run away and possibly win the championship.
Exactly.
For the first time this season, you can actually say that it's a toss-up in terms of who can possibly be the best team in the league.
I have a question for you.
Win the championship.
So now that, well, when there is a trio, do you feel like it's kind of hard for, like, a player to shine and to really eat and get theirs when there's so many super players on one team? I feel like when there's too many of those players on one team, it's hard for like that underdog to come up and really shine because you have like all these star players already established out there and on the court. Do you agree? Do you think that it's hard for, you know, other players to kind of get their minutes in with so many super players on a super team?
I think it's tough. And one situation that I'll definitely point out to, you know, living in Boston and following the Celtics was the so-and-so big three that the Celtics had with, you know, Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen. You know, when it started, everything seemed peachy. They seemed like they were clicking. They were, the camaraderie was there. They were great friends on the court and probably off the court. You know, you didn't really hear too much things in the beginning. But as the year started to progress, couple of the guys started getting older. You know, Ray Allen was always the oldest one on the team.
Right.
But as Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce started getting older, you know, things started coming up. You had Rajon Rondo, who started to develop, and now he's the fourth all-star on the team. You had, you know, a couple years later when they drafted Avery Bradley. You know, he's a guy, that a young, hungry guy that's coming in. He's playing the same position as Ray Allen. You know, mm-hmm. can he probably take Ray Allen's spot? So, you know, I think when you have big threes, there's possibly always that one guy in that big three who probably doesn't get the shine that he maybe should. Or maybe before the big three was formed, you know, you had Ray Allen when he used to play for the Supersonics. He was the main guy over there. He comes to the Celtics. It goes Pierce, KG, Ray Allen's the third fiddle. You talk about the Miami Heat when they made their big three. Chris Bosh was the main guy when he used to play for the Toronto Raptors.
Right.
He comes to the Miami Heat. It goes LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. You know, and then LeBron, when he also went to Cleveland with Kyrie and Kevin Love, it went LeBron, Kyrie, Kevin Love. There's always that third guy
who kind of takes the back burner.
Kind of takes the back burner, you know.
But what about all the other players, too? Because I feel like, you know, you have your three main players, but then it's like those other guys who are hungry, want to play, want minutes, want to get out there. I feel like it makes it harder for them, too.
The thing with super teams or teams that have big threes or whatever you want to call it, if you're one of those role player guys, you have to just shut up and play basketball.
Play your role. Stay in your lane.
Because you know coming into the season, once this team is formed,
you know what it is.
It's going through these three guys. These three guys are leading the way, and you just have to play your role. Whether your role is to be a defender, whether your role is to be a great rebounder, whether your role is to just come off and give quick energy off the bench.
Just to assist.
Yeah. You can never... If you ever want to step up and say, hey, get me the ball, you're going to be shut down really quickly because you know you're not one of the big three. You're not, if your team ends up making it to the championship or winning the championship, you know, these are the three guys that are going to get all the publicity, all the media attention.
Right.
You're just going to be, hey, and he was also on the team that got a championship as well. So
you're saying that if you know, someone who wasn't a part of the big three wanted to kind of, you know, get some minutes in and get the ball more, what would you recommend they do? Leave the team or, you know, give it their all when they are on the court? Like, how do you go about, you know, getting yours?
I mean, it boils down to, do you really care about winning? And when I say that, I mean, if you want to argue and say, hey, well, I want the ball. If you're a lesser player, I'll use the Miami Heat's big three. If you're not Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, or Chris Bosh, and you're, who was on that team? Mario Chalmers, point guard. Decent starting point guard during his time in the NBA. What was he going to say? I want the ball more than Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh? Like, what are you going to say? You either shut up and ride their coattails to a championship, which he did. They won two of them. Or you can ask to be traded and go somewhere else. Well, yeah, you'll probably get more playing time. You'll probably get more shots and be able to score more points. But you're probably not going to win a championship because you're not on the team with these superstar players. So
right.
Depends what you want. Do you want to?
I think sometimes a lot of people, too, want to build their career, though, and they can't build their career in the shadow of someone else or just kind of playing their role and following the orders of someone else. You
it's
know,
tough because saying exactly what you just said, it kind of, you know, brings it to Kyrie Irving's
situation.
Yeah,
the reason why he didn't want to be in LeBron's shadow. He went to the Celtics. He made his own team. He made his own moves. So, you know, taking that example, other players might want to do the same. Like, they don't want to live in the shadow of these three super players. They want to be a super player. They want to be the reason that super team is winning. Like, no one wants to continue to, you know, just live in someone else's shadow and not be, you know, a main player.
Yeah, I mean,
at the end of the day, everybody got to get theirs.
That's true.
You know?
Kyrie, he asked for that. And look what he got out of it. He got to a team where he was, you know, the main guy on that team. And it ended up kind of backfiring in his face because he wasn't built and wasn't ready for that. But, I mean, if we bring it back to what the current, you know, scene of the NBA looks like today, you know, there isn't a situation like you just brought up where there might be a third player, a third superstar who's going to be arguing and it will not argue, but kind of taking a backseat to two guys. Most of these teams now have two guys where when they go out, you know it's going to be these two guys mainly running things. On top of that, if you have those lesser players, they maybe get an opportunity as well because, you know,
when it's two rather than three. Right.
So other people are definitely going to have to step up. If you look at a team like the Clippers, obviously they just got Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and obviously they're going to be the top two players on the team. But guys like, you know, Montrezl Harrell is going to have to continue stepping up like he did last year. Lou Williams, who was the sixth man of the year, won that award, he's going to continue to play huge minutes and score points to help that team succeed. Other players are going to continue to step up, and that's what all these teams, like the teams you just mentioned, that that's what they need to have in order to be successful.
Do you think it's an end to the trios, though?
You know,
this definitely brings balance. Agree?
Yeah,
this brought balance.
This year has balance,
but how long is this balance going to go for? I think it might be a temporary situation. I think that it's not going to last long with these duos. I think somewhere down the line, someone's definitely going to, you know, form a trio and a super team again. What do you think?
I mean, in this day and age, you know, and I'm not saying throughout the years that the NBA's been around, there hasn't been, you know, Michael Jordan, when he played, he was friends with, like, Patrick Ewing or Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, being friends, you know, when it came to actually being competitive, playing on the court, those guys wanted to battle each other. If you ask those old players, you know, would you want to team up? They asked Jordan, would he want to team up with Magic Johnson? Stuff. He said, no, absolutely not. Those are my boys. Those are my friends. But when it came to basketball and being competitive, I want to go against the best. Now, this day and age, once you have players that are friends, they don't text each other like, yeah, I can't wait to beat your team. They text each other like, yeah, so when can we play together? Like, these guys are talking mid-season. During the NBA season, when they're on different teams, they're texting each other. Or, like in Kyrie and Kevin Durant's case, meeting each other in the hallway, possibly talking about how can we play together next season.
So you just mentioned, you know, how Michael Jordan was like, I want to play against the best. I don't, you know, yeah. But do you think players nowadays still have that mentality? Because now we're talking about players, you know, on opposite teams texting each other like, yeah, when are we going to play together? Yeah. It's like no one wants that challenge,
I think,
you know?
The competitiveness is still there, but it's evolved. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, the players still want to be on the court and win games and go to battle. But now, instead of just really focus on, like, going out and playing against the best, they want to see if my friend's the best and he can be on my team and we can still go to battle and be competitive and win basketball games and make our way to a championship.
Yeah.
Let's do it with my buddy on the side. So it's just different now. A lot of people hate it. I'm not a fan of it. Maybe I'm old school. I don't know. But some people now, there's probably some people who love super teams. They probably see, you know, guys playing on the same team. Oh,
what's the fun in that when you know that all these players together, they're going to be unstoppable? Like, that just takes away the fun from the game.
Yeah, you preaching to the choir.
You know?
I agree. There's no fun in just seeing the best players all in the same uniform playing and them just blowing out teams. You know, people want to say, people make the argument that, oh, the Celtics in 2008 started that. Not really. Kevin Garnett was traded to the Celtics, however way you want to look at the trade. Ray Allen was traded to the Celtics. I know Kevin Garnett and Pierce were friends years before, mm-hmm. and whatnot, but I doubt that there was much conversation during the season prior to 07-08 of Garnett and Pierce wanting to play together and Ray Allen. I don't think so. They were all traded to the team. LeBron's the one who got it started. And after that, you can see more and more as the years went on, players are talking, rumors are players are talking and want to play each other. Even this past offseason, Kawhi Leonard was in the media. Well, not in the media, but rumors were out there. Kawhi Leonard called Kevin Durant and they wanted to join together. Earlier today, you know, we was talking about that report of Kyrie. You know, Kawhi reaching out to Kyrie about teaming up and play together. Players are recruiting friends.
Each other
to come play with each other.
But do you think, because you know how they say, like, you know, don't necessarily hire family members, like playing with a friend too, do you think that sometimes, depending on how the season and the game goes, it can kind of cause a rift between their friendship? That's why I always say, like, I would rather play against them than have them on the team. That way, you know, with the whole Celtics and the Kyrie situation, like, no one's pointing blame, you know?
That's a great point to bring up, because, like you just said, you're on the same team as somebody.
And you guys are losing.
Yeah, if it's not
going well.
And
then it's getting heated and everybody's upset. You end up arguing with your friend and that could potentially ruin a really good friendship.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you're on the same team and things are not going well, fingers can easily be pointed back and forth. Well, it's your fault. It's your fault. But if you're going into battle against somebody who's on a completely other team, you might get into a heated argument during the game.
Yeah, but that's the game.
But once the game's
over,
unless you have real beef on the court where you're starting to fight each other, but once the game's over, win or lose, you could just look at your boy and say, you know what, good game. We'll get you next time, whatever the case may be.
And keep the friendship going.
And keep it going. But, you know,
what we got in the comments over there?
It's a new day and age. You know, Marv shouted us out. Marv said, gave us a nice little wave. You know, he's tuning in. Shout out to him. Another guy just said, go Celtics. You know, we got Celtics fans who tune in all the time. That's the one team, though, that doesn't really have a super pair of players. You know, they did sign Kemba Walker, but there's not a second all-star. If you look at all those teams, like you just listed, the Clippers, the Lakers, the Nets, those and the Warriors, those all have all-star players. On the Celtics, Kemba Walker's the only all-star, and he was only a one-time all-star at that. So
they gypped us?
Celtics took a step back this offseason. You know, last season with that team that they had, and we've talked about this on previous shows. You know, last season, the Celtics team, that was the team that was supposed to win the championship or make the championship run or give the Warriors a run for their money in the
finals. Exactly, and
they didn't get it done. You have this team that they have next year. Kyrie's gone. You insert Kemba Walker. We talked about that last episode. Kyrie and Kemba Walker are not the same people. Kemba Walker's still decent. You lost Al Horford, who might have been a bigger loss. But Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown's still there. Hopefully, those are your all-stars next season.
I think they could definitely make something work.
One of them or both of them need to be all-stars.
Who would be your ideal super team if you had to make one?
If I had to make a super team?
Yeah, your trio. Who's your trio?
If I had to get a trio of players, if I was a GM and I could build a super team, or if I was the best player in the league and I had the ability to call players and tell them to come to my team, I'm taking, just off of pure talent.
I need to hear this.
Just off of pure talent, I'm taking Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Paul.
Okay.
That's my trio. I'm not looking at how they act off the court, because I know Chris Paul gets a lot of
bad rap. I wonder what Marv would say about this.
I wish Marv would say, Marv, if you're watching, give us your trio.
I wonder what he would say.
And that goes to anybody tuning in right now. If you are a GM, sorry, or a superstar player, and you have the ability to build a superstar team, a trio, a super team, who would you put on that? I'm going Chris Paul, because he's the ultimate floor general in this day and age. Or I might even take Rondo. Call me crazy. I like a facilitating point guard who can get the ball out. Chris Paul can do that, and he can score too. So give me Chris Paul. Give me Kawhi Leonard, who can score and play top-notch defense. And then give me Kevin Durant, who can score the ball in any way, shape, or form. That's my super team if I had to build it.
All right. I guess we'll take that. We'll see what Marv says later. But we're going to move on to
Marv said I'm drunk. Marv said I clearly been drinking.
See, I knew you would have something
no
to say.
No one's going to agree with that, because I see people, I feel like when I say that trio, people's going to be like, Chris Paul, are you crazy? Like, I just look at
you
talent.
Just said Rondo. That's when I called you crazy.
Because when I say Rondo, I just think of how he plays. I'm thinking of these players in their prime playing at their best. That dude Rondo was a walking triple-double in his prime.
Okay.
Chris Paul, 20 points, 12 assists, 2 steals, and like 4 or 5 rebounds.
Listen, I'm not arguing with your trio. Everybody else arguing with your trio. But we're going to leave it at that. I understand. I'm not arguing with it. Let's move on to our second topic, The Little Mermaid. Now, I love The Little Mermaid. This is one of my favorite Disney movies.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Really?
Just don't care.
Oh, my God. Well, I wouldn't put it past you. I love princesses. You know, my name is Tiara, for goodness sake. I love me a good princess. So, we have Holly Bailey. So, she was casted to play The Little Mermaid. And
live
so, of course,
film, yep.
Yep, live action film, the remake, coming out soon. So, in the beginning, she received a lot of praise. A lot of people loved the idea. They, you know, praised it. They agreed with it. They thought it was different, unique, etc. Then we had, of course, you know, the racist, ugly comments follow after that. There was actually a trending hashtag on Twitter, the Not My Ariel. And a lot of people were saying a lot of ugly things, complaining of Disney changing the skin color of their beloved princess. And then, Mike, I know you mentioned too, like, this isn't even like a real story.
No.
You know, like, this isn't like the remake of, you know, a real event that occurred in U.S. history or, you know, anywhere throughout the world. This is a made-up character and movie. So, people took offense to it, though. And I have to say that it's so unnecessary. It's just like, so if she was to be casted as, you know, the original Ariel, there would be no problem. But because she's black, it's a problem.
Yeah, people clearly don't like that, you know, growing up watching this cartoon, like I said, I've heard of Little Mermaid, obviously. I've never sat down and watched a film in my life. But
you should watch it.
I'm all set. If I got kids, sure, maybe, but I don't care.
I think you should watch it just for this purpose. Just watch the remake. Just watch it.
Sure, I'll watch the live action film, sure. But like
you might like it. I got a feeling you're going to like it.
I don't give a damn.
Because I know you like the water and you like to swim and you like the fishies.
I told you I like to swim?
Yeah, that's what you told me.
I know how to fish. I once caught 36 fish one time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sound like you believe me. Anyways, yeah. I think there's certain people out there who, because they grew up as a child, they watched Little Mermaid, and people like you, probably, they love that film. They love all the songs and the crab. Isn't there a crab in the movie or something?
Yeah.
Funny crab or something. You know, they probably see that, and to find out that years later, a remake's coming out, but to take offense, to really not care that they're remaking your beloved movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could have just tossed Little Mermaid aside and said, yeah, whatever, the cartoon from 1998 or whatever came out, who cares? They could have just tossed that aside. But Disney said, you know what? This is a beloved movie that people care about. We're going to do a remake. And you want to draw your attention, not that the remake is being made, right, but that the person cast to play the role, sing all the same lines, sing all the same damn songs, is black. Or just a different ethnicity than the original cartoon fake-ass mermaid.
Yeah, and to have a hashtag trending on Twitter about this is disgraceful and it's upsetting. And I can only imagine how Holly's feeling right now. But even the original Ariel, Jodie Benson, she stepped in to defend her, which I thought was really nice. And I thought that that was the right thing to do, because if you're not going to listen to, you know, the people saying that, you know, race shouldn't matter, at least, you know, shine some insight on the original Ariel, who stepped in and said, hey. She basically said that as long as the person, you know, playing Ariel just, you know, plays that role to the fullest. And she says it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. And that, you know, you really just bring light to the character. And she said that it doesn't matter that Holly isn't, you know, the same skin color. And I thought that that was really big of her, being the original Ariel, to come out and say that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely great to have, you know, the original person who, you know, did the voiceover of the character in her corner. I mean, but it shouldn't even have to get to that. You know, it's sad that, you know, obviously the original character will come out and probably all she should come on and say is, wow, I'm so happy to see this remake being done. Mm-hmm. You know, I was happy to be a part of it.
And she did say that.
You know, and that's all she should have to say.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have to come out and defend anything about this movie. It's freaking Disney for kids. Little kids.
Not even a real story.
Not even a real story. No one's ever seen a mermaid. They don't exist. You know, I don't believe in mermaids. Probably some dumb
mermaids actually exist.
Where?
They're just not what.
What are they?
They make them out to believe.
Tell me. This is new information to me. What are they?
I'm really into the Discovery Channel.
Okay, so what did they tell you?
And I've seen some videos and pictures. They're really ugly. And like their skin is like soggy and like
what do they look like?
They don't have hair. They look like monsters. They look like, I can't even describe it to you. It's like a man's figure up top, but the face is kind of like really flat. They don't have a nose, and they look like literally a man's figure up top, but then they have like a fin.
And you
but
tell it me looks, you watched this on the Discovery Channel.
Yes, you can Google it. Like sightings of mermaids, like,
and
it's
they look,
real.
They have a man's figure.
Yeah, they have like arms, but like, you know, their hands are like this, like not, like, you know, they can't separate their fingers. But again, like, it's not how you would picture it, like from the movies.
And they're as tall as you and me.
They're huge. They're big. They're pretty big. They come in different sizes.
Those things are swimming around in the oceans right now.
Yes, and let me tell you though, like, they're evil creatures. They're scary looking, and they're not what we picture them out to be.
Next time
that's
you
all
see
I want
this
to say.
On the Discovery Channel. Send this to me.
Listen, you got us drifting off topic. Let's go back to Holly Bailey. So now, with all this criticism going on, I feel as though when the movie does come out, and I know it's going to be a great movie because Holly Bailey is Ariel and she's black, I feel like she's still going to get a lot of backlash for the role that she plays and how she plays it. I feel like people are still going to be like, oh, it was horrible because, you know,
they cast it, you know, Holly Bailey and not the original Ariel. Like, what do you think the outcome's going to be and what people are going to say after they see the movie? I feel like it's already going to have, like, a negative...
It's just, like I said, it's a damn shame that people want to overlook...
They're not going to give it a chance.
People want to overlook the fact that Disney's putting in their money, multi-billion dollar company like Disney's putting in their time and energy to remake a movie that many people love. And instead of just being happy and excited for that, you know, people want to shift their energy towards who's playing what character. And I mean, it hasn't only happened with this movie. I feel like people are probably feeling some type of way at a certain characters in The Lion King coming out and the voices. I'm pretty sure I heard stories or read stories about people feeling a certain type of way of which actors were voicing certain characters. Like, stop putting your time and energy.
See, now that's crazy to me because you can't even see who's talking, you know? And that right there, that's kind of just like stereotyping because they sound a certain way. Like, you're assuming that person is black.
I really don't understand it because I personally don't do it. You know, I don't, you know.
That's outrageous. I've never
really paid attention to, if you're taking a cartoon, I can understand if this was a non-fictional story about, I'm trying to draw a story off my head right now.
Go ahead, director Mike.
A non-fictional
story. Write the screenplay.
This is like, name a non-fictional character who's famous in history. And they make a movie off that person and completely switch their race. That's something.
That's a problem.
That's a problem. That's like making them...
Like if they were to do it for like Smokey Robinson or, you know...
You want to tell the story...
Somebody who was a significant, you know, role Michael model. Jackson. Yeah.
You want to make a Michael Jackson movie and you have... An Asian dude or something. Like, it's different. Like, I don't know. You can't... That's different. You're talking about a cartoon, and the cartoon is of a mermaid that's not... Well, according to you, it's real in Discovery Channel, but something that's not real. Like, I don't understand how do you find problem with that. Pocahontas. Marv, that's a great example. Pocahontas. You gonna make a movie about Pocahontas? Are you gonna play a white character? Put a white character as Pocahontas? Doesn't make sense.
Because she's Indian, yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
I feel like when you have a cartoon, though, you have that flexibility. You could have made Ariel could have been purple in the cartoon.
Doesn't matter.
But it's because she's a cartoon. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could be yellow, red, and then in the remake, she could be black. She could be white. She could be whatever Disney wants her to be, and I don't think there should be an issue with that. But I do think that it is going to affect, like, the outcome of, you know, people going to see it.
Bad numbers or something?
Yeah, I feel like people are going to boycott it and be like, oh, I'm not going to see it. It's not the original Ariel. Like, I definitely think... People
boycott The Little Mermaid because the character is a different ethnicity than the cartoon character are damn fools. And I feel sorry for them. That's a sorry that you want to...
You want to give them a sorry?
I give those people who boycott Little Mermaid... and not see it because of who is playing the main character. And I mean, on top of that, Mulan is coming out. A live-action Mulan film is coming out. You know, I think there was a teaser trailer. I feel like they said it came out during...
I seen it. Yeah.
I think it came out during a soccer game, the U.S. Women's Championship game. And yeah, are people going to boycott that movie? I don't believe so, but... They do have an Asian lady.
Now, imagine if Mulan wasn't Asian, though. Like, what if they casted her to be, you know, a black girl or a white girl? Like,
well, I think that's different because Mulan is in a setting, a cartoon.
They're in China, right? So, like, all right?
Disney would look stupid to do something like that. That's where
the Little Mermaid is in the water, okay? In the ocean. There's no reason why for anybody to be upset.
If Disney cast Mulan as a black chick, I'd be like, what are y'all doing, Disney? But Little Mermaid in the water with sea creatures, it shouldn't matter if they're black, white, yellow, pink, orange, blue, whatever. So,
Now, what about Snow White?
if there was a remake for Snow White, is it okay if Disney casts a black movie that princess?
I don't really have knowledge
of. Can you
of.
Please go brush up on your Disney princesses?
Like, do I look like I sat down to watch Snow White to you?
What did you do in your childhood?
Not watch Snow White.
You ain't have a childhood crush princess that you wanted to just marry?
Childhood crush princess.
Not one? Do you know any?
Cartoon.
Oh my goodness.
Nah, I can't really think.
You can't name one princess.
Look, I grew up in a Caribbean household.
Just name one for me, please.
One princess? What that girl from
You can't even name her. You said what that girl from you know what?
What's that girl?
Can you please let me know what's going on in the comments? What we got going on over there? Because you obviously don't know your princesses, so I'm gonna need you to go brush up on your history.
You know, I don't want to say some of these comments, but they're pretty damn funny.
What's going on? Give me a hint.
People just throwing out different movies that have
someone
come
said
out.
Tarzan's racist.
Tarzan is low-key racist.
Tarzan, nah. I can see why somebody would say Tarzan is racist.
Please elaborate as to why Tarzan.
Because, all right, you got the monkeys in the jungle, and the monkeys is black, acting crazy and fighting. What and then you got Tarzan coming to get rescued by the white people.
What?
They who are all civilized and clean cut.
They weren't coming to rescue Tarzan.
When he met Jane. Well,
they were coming to rescue Jane. They didn't give a damn about Tarzan.
But they took him. Which Tarzan are we talking about? Are we talking about the remake? Because they took him.
Talk about George of the Jungle.
Listen, no. Talk about the most recent Tarzan. That crazy one with
I didn't watch that movie.
Oh my goodness. I can't even have a conversation with him because he didn't even watch.
But what I know, Tarzan movie. Was, they came, you know, they was discovering, doing a safari in the jungle. Jane was dead. Jane got lost. Tarzan saved her. Tarzan and Jane fell in love, but the people came back to try to rescue Jane, and it was Tarzan and the monkey and the gorillas
trying to fight
the people. I feel like
Tarzan has a lot of, like, deeper meanings to it because... Maybe. You know, here they are, and you have those white people. The reason why they were there in the first place because they were looking for what? They was looking for the diamonds, right?
Probably.
They was trying to, like, tear down the forest and build a whole new colony and all this other stuff. Now, does that ring any bells to you?
The only thing about Tarzan that rings a bell to me is back when I was in the fourth or fifth grade, when I was in the chorus at my school, they had us singing a main song. Main song from that movie. They go some, you'll be in my heart.
No one even asked.
Yes, you'll be in my heart.
But do you get the deeper meaning behind Tarzan?
Forever.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
But I want you to understand it.
Okay.
Do you understand it?
Whatever
you're
saying.
Let me know if you need me to explain it.
Nah, you're good. You're good.
You sure?
You're good. I promise you.
I need you to go watch Tarzan. I need you to go watch the Disney princesses movies. I need you to watch all of those.
I've had the urge to go watch these Disney cartoons lately. I'm sorry.
Listen, those can teach you a lot of things, all right? There's a lot of meaning behind the princess movies and Tarzan.
Only one Disney movie I tell you I will go back and watch consistently.
Toy Story.
No.
What?
The Goofy movie.
Because you goofy! Oh my gosh. Anyway.
The only movie I'll watch right now. If it was on TV, I'll stop everything I was doing and I'll sit down in front of the TV and I'll watch it and I'll sing every song from that movie. But I digress.
So, when The Little Mermaid comes out, are you going to see it? Yes or no?
I don't have kids right now, T-Mac. I don't have a daughter.
It doesn't matter. You can still go see it.
If I happen to find a nice lady who told me she's a huge fan of these princesses.
Don't get me started on this.
And I'm talking to that nice lady and she says that to me. I'll maybe entertain a date or something. But that hasn't come to my way.
You telling me.
I'm not personally going to go see.
No. Let me just repeat what you just said. Let me just repeat what you just said so you can hear how it sounds.
What'd I say?
You telling me. That if you taking a woman out on a date, you gonna take her to go see The Little Mermaid?
I said if she suggested that to me.
No.
Don't twist my words.
You need to be picky.
Don't twist my words.
That's what you said.
No, I didn't. I said if I'm talking to a girl and she said,
ladies,
hey,
Mike is taking you to go see The Little Mermaid.
You just said yourself, oh, I, she's Tiara and I'm a princess.
All right.
And a leopard. So if you was talking to
first a dude, of all, I don't sound like that. So don't be intimidating me like
if
that.
If you
okay?
told somebody you was talking to, hey, I used to love Little Mermaid when I was little, and now they're making a live action movie, and you suggested to somebody you talking to that you'd like to go see it, as a gentleman, he should say, if that's what you like to see, Tiara, no. I'll gladly take you.
That's not what you said.
Okay, twist my words.
You know what?
Moving on, T-Mac.
Moving on.
Further down the playlist.
Let's just agree to disagree because sure. You will never
You'll
understand.
Never agree
with me. No, you will never agree with me. No,
you will never.
Stop agree. Trying to cut me off. You're you not going to agree with me. Me. I'm done talking to you because okay. I can't. Anyways, Coco, Corey Goff's. So, 15 years old, she beats Venus Williams, 39.
Mm-hmm. 39 years old.
This was a big accomplishment for her. She said she didn't even think she was going to win herself. She didn't even know what to say.
It's Venus Williams.
This is huge.
Venus freaking Williams.
This is Venus freaking Williams.
And she is 15 years old. To step onto a tennis... You know what?
First of all, what is the age limit here? Because 15 is young.
I couldn't tell you. Because I don't follow tennis like that. But 15...
You don't follow princesses like that either. What do you follow?
Say that question for another show.
Oh,
anyways,
my gosh.
15 years old. You only 9th, 10th grade? That's 9th, 10th grade in high school. And you on a tennis court going against a multi-time champion.
Going against a grown woman.
Venus Williams. Grown woman. Straight up.
Grown woman.
And not only do you beat her, but you beat her in straight sets. Which means there was no... She had to battle, make something. She beat Venus Williams back to back.
Straight up.
Straight up. That is major. That's major. That's like... I you can make comparisons in other sports on how that is, but that's major. And I mean, obviously, you know, she ended up getting eliminated a couple rounds later.
Yeah, I think she lost yesterday.
Yes, I think she lost Monday morning in a match that she had. But to step on a court... you know, tennis court and play her idol, because that's what she said Venus was, is her idol, and be able to defeat her handedly, easily. You smacked Venus Williams. Sorry.
Dang.
She smacked Venus Williams.
You ain't got to say it like that.
That's what happened. But that's like a huge, huge moment. And I really want to say, wow.
Congratulations, Coco.
She has a bright future ahead of her. And you know, Venus is aging up. You know, she's getting older. Serena's getting older as well. Serena's is still pretty damn good. Venus is, you know, she might be. She might.
This coming from the person who don't even follow tennis.
I know enough to know that Venus is not what she used to be. Serena's still pretty dominant, but at the end of the day, they're both getting older.
I feel like Serena was always the dominant one. Like, she was always...
I think over the years...
I feel like her grunts were louder when they were playing, you know? She was always like, you know? Hers was way louder than Venus's.
I think either way, if you look at their two careers, Venus and Serena, Serena's been the better sister.
Yeah.
In terms of tennis play. But that's not to downplay anything that Venus has accomplished. She still has been a great player throughout her career.
I remember when they used to play each other.
Oh, yeah.
And make it all the way.
Whenever
there was
a Venus versus Serena matchup.
Like, who do the parents root for? What do you do?
I don't know. You just got to be happy for
who? Like, do you pick your favorite at that point?
You cannot. I don't know. I really can't step into a parent's shoes and feel what it's like when you're too... children are playing against each other in a major sport. I really don't know what to do. You've seen, you know, some parents, if their players are on two different teams, they'll get split jerseys with, like, you know, both their child's name or whatever, their number or the team. But, like, you can't root for your, it's tough. I can't speak on it. But for Coco, though, I think.
She was pretty humble about it, too.
Yeah. And on top of this, she has a bright future ahead of her. But I feel as if there's going to eventually come a real time where Venus and Serena will have to pass the torch to the next, you know.
When do you think that will be? Because
Venus
is 39.
Venus is coming up real soon. Venus out the door real soon.
Do you think that that's something? Because they've held that torch for a long time.
Well, Serena's still holding it. Venus is...
When do you think is the right time for that torch to be passed down? after you lose consecutively a few times? Like, when do you think it's the right time?
I'll tell you this. Like I said, Venus just got smacked by a 15-year-old in straight sets.
Yeah, that's a little embarrassing.
That's not really good. And whether Venus is just too old now or she just couldn't hang with the younger, quicker, faster, whatever, I don't know. But to lose that way to somebody who's 15 years old, who's hasn't really played on this big of a stage ever in her life, to lose like that, Venus is...
She was ranked, like, I think 313.
You don't get it. Venus is out of the Venus ain't gonna be hanging around too much longer. Someone just chimed in. Pyro is saying Venus got to pass the torch right now. And I'm telling you, I'm close to agreeing 100%. You lose to a 15-year-old in straight sets, you gotta go soon.
Maybe she just had an off game, an off day.
An off couple of...
Has she lost like that before? Like prior to?
When's the last time Venus won? I don't follow tennis like that, so I don't really have that
exactly answer. So how are you over here talking all this trash even follow tennis?
I watch enough ESPN, and I got a lot of notifications that come through my phone from ESPN and Bleacher Report will tell me when somebody won the Wimbledon or the U.S. Open or the French Open.
You don't know.
Look, I know the names. You even know those names?
You don't even know. Open? I watch it.
You know the U.S. Open?
Yeah.
You know Wimbledon?
Yeah.
What's the name of the court they play on?
That one right there.
Roland Garros.
That's what I said.
I don't even know if that's the right name. Something like that. Anyways.
So Venus, she's young. Coco's she's young. And she even says, you know, I want to be the best. I want to keep working to be the best. And with her being so young and having such a big accomplishment already, I definitely can see her becoming the next best, you know, female tennis player. And I see Venus and Serena Williams passing down that torch to her, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, there was also that other player that I'm completely drawn and blank on her name, Osaka. I forgot her name, but she recently beat Serena Williams.
How old was she, you know?
Much younger than Serena.
Was she 15, 16?
I don't think she was that young, but another young up-and-coming player. She is of Japanese and Haitian descent. I'm sorry that I'm drawing a blank on her name right now, but she recently beat Serena in a somewhat controversial matchup, I believe.
Why was it controversial?
You know, I feel like Serena didn't like some of the calls that she was... I'm just trying to pull this from memory right now. But I believe Serena didn't like some of the calls
that were being made,
that the judge was ruling on her. And, you know, Serena was upset after the match, but she didn't want to take away from the fact that this girl, you know, who's just coming into stardom, who either way got the victory no matter
how. Because, like, say, for example, if that was to happen with the match with Coco and Venus... If you're making a big fuss, and you got a 15-year-old, you got a baby right over there, you got a child, and you're over here, you know, causing a scene, that you have to, you know, keep that professionalism. Well, I can see where Serena Venus was coming
from. From what I know and have seen, Venus has never really been one to get too animated in a match. Serena, we've seen and heard over, you know,
the... I'm telling you, her grunts are much louder. Her
grunts, or if she's not feeling what the judge is calling, she'll let it be known and come at the ref or the judge really badly. Like how that matchup happened with that player that she lost to, she really came at the judge, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to take it back to what you're saying about the passing of the torch, I believe it's not too far away, especially for Venus Williams. It's coming up real soon, where I wouldn't say... Maybe retirement's what it is. I don't know. But, like, she's not held to the same level as she once was.
See, that's when I feel the torch should be passed down. I feel like before you start to lose that momentum and you take a loss like this, I feel like that's the time to pass the torch and retire. It's like, go out with a bang. Go out with, you know, high numbers. Like, taking that win and then, okay, I'm done. Rather than, okay, I won, I lost, I'm done. You know? Like, I just feel like you should go out on a good note rather than going out like on a losing note.
The competitive fire in you wants to just keep going. You want to believe that, hey, I had...
Especially when it's something you love. Like, they love tennis. That was their passion.
They love it. They're passionate about it. And it's something that they used to dominate. Venus used to be one of the most dominant players.
They both used to just kill it.
Yeah. Now that they're older, I mean, they probably still have that passion and desire inside of them. You know?
What's going on in the comments?
Serena... Pyro saying Serena still has a few more years in her, which I agree with. But Venus might be a done deal and might need to tap out and call it quits real soon. And you know what?
Oh, man. See, all maybe they'll retire together. Maybe that's what Venus is waiting for. Maybe she wants them to retire and pass the torch together.
Pyro said Serena has a few more years. Venus might be done. Like, tonight, tomorrow, when the Wimbledon, what's it, Wimbledon are planning right now? When it's over?
Yeah.
I think if Venus was to come out and say, look, I'm 39 years old. I'm about to be 40. Like, what's they say? 40s and 30s the new 40? 40s the new 30?
Who said that?
You know, there's
you
all
said
these,
that?
There's all these sayings out there. Well, not maybe Venus wanted.
I wonder who the one saying them.
I don't know. You've heard those before. Don't act like you never heard somebody
know
say that
you
before.
Say, I heard you say it. That's what I heard.
You've never heard somebody say 30s
I heard somebody
the new
say
20,
I heard you say it.
40s the new 30?
I heard you say it.
Anyways, if Venus wanted to tap on and say, yeah, cool, I'm done, I don't think anybody would hold it against her. She'd be celebrated because she had a great career.
She would.
But it might be time to go.
It might be. Well, congratulations, Coco. You definitely had a big accomplishment. I definitely see a big, bright future for her. But let's move on to our last topic of the night. We got to hit you with that relationship question. So, fellas, you get down on your one knee, you
Which
propose.
Let me get my shades.
Yeah.
But I don't have shades.
Oh my goodness. Anyways, fellas, you get down on one knee, you propose to your girlfriend, she becomes your fiance, you know, you guys are talking about these marriage arrangements, and so she does not want to take your last name. Is that a make or break? Would you still marry someone if she didn't, or if he or she didn't want to take your last name?
We had a question like this come up before, and I forgot what the question was, but I'm gonna answer the same way I answered for that question. What was I wish I could remember the question. But like I said before, a conversation needs to be had.
You in these conversations.
I forgot what the question
was. We going to have a conversation. Your girl going to be like, you know what? I'm tired of these conversations.
I think it was if the woman proposed to a man, you know, would you?
Yeah, we talked about that before. But you going to have a conversation with her.
Look, I'm a gentleman and I'm, you know, kind of raised on the old school mentality.
She got to take your last name?
And the way I was raised, she's taking my last name. That's just how I was raised. I know times change and things are different.
Let me ask you this. Can she do both or she just got to take
yours?
That's
the thing. Yours? If we have discussion, I consider the hyphen between the names.
You would consider it?
My last name, long as hell. My last name, real long. And say I meet somebody who got a pretty... I got like 9 letters in my last name. Say I meet somebody who has also... You want that full... Possibly 18
it's
letters.
It's not even going to fit.
It's not even going to fit. You
on the paper, on the line.
Paperwork, any paper you fill out, you want to write a full my last name hyphen and your long last name? Like, come on. Like, that's a lot.
Listen.
It's a conversation that needs to be had. But I don't think if we get married and I'm going to stand there and I now pronounce you Mr. Son, and say two separate. I don't want, like, I'm old school gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
We taking my name, or if you want to do the hyphen, my name not gonna be hyphen, so I don't care. You gonna hyphen your name? You all right?
So
cool.
What if she's like, no? Let me play the devil's advocate now. She's like, no, I don't want no hyphen. I don't want your last name. I want to keep my own last name. That's my daddy's last name. And I love my daddy, and he passed away, so I gotta keep my daddy's last name. I can't have your name.
How about? If you want to keep your father's last name so bad, we can make it our child's middle name.
No, she don't want that.
We got...
What you going to do? I'm just saying, like, is that right there? All right, give me my ring back. That's what you going
to
do?
Nah, I mean, if I'm drunk into a need to propose to a girl, it's, you know, my heart's all in it.
So would you cave and be like, all right, fine, keep your last name?
I don't believe it would get to that point where I'm just going to say, whatever, keep it. I think a conversation is going to be...
You in these conversations.
I'm going to stay steadfast and say I would firmly and definitely would love if you take my last name.
Put your foot down?
You know, I might have to. Size 13 feet over here.
I'm just saying, if she's like, no, I don't want your last name. It's too long. I don't like it.
Comments coming in. Piru once again is saying she has to keep, she can keep her last name, but she has to add mine to it. That's, I think that's as far as I go. We could do the hyphen. You can keep your last name, but just hyphen it up.
Listen.
Bang, bang. You get your name, you get mine, we together. Sharing a last name shows that you're a family. If you keep your last name, and I might keep last name, it's another way of showing marriage and how you're officially together and starting a brand new family. You end up having kids. What they doing? What the kids doing?
Whose last name they taking?
Exactly. Do you want to get into all of that?
She might want to.
That's... Then, you know...
Me? I'm going to take my husband's last name.
You are going to take the last name?
Hell yeah, I'm taking that last name.
That's a good man.
Let me tell you why.
Tell me why.
I got two last names, okay? I have my father's and my mother's last name. And what a hyphen.
What a hyphen.
And it is a pain. People call them, like, you know, if you get on attendance and the teacher's reading your name, it's always your last name first and then your first name. I'll be called by my two last names. They won't even see the tiara, you know? So, ladies, do not do the hyphen. Just take his last name.
Thank
please.
You.
Just take
Thank
the last
you,
name.
T-Mac. Let the ladies but, know. Say to get into both cameras, please.
No, because you in these conversations, you going to end up with the one girl that's going to be like, no, I don't want your last name. I'm keeping my last name. That's what's going to happen to you.
But you know what? If marriage is a serious conversation coming up, you know, in a relationship, before you even get to propose, you just have a general conversation. Because, I mean, couples can have that conversation. Oh, what do you think about kids? How many kids you want to have? Or marriage, just that. That's a conversation that could get thrown in there. Like, with the last name. What do you think about that? Before you even propose, maybe you should already have your mind. Oh, she want to take. Oh, she want to hype. Oh, she don't. I don't know how I feel about
so
it.
So, you didn't have this conversation before you got down on one knee and proposed? Because, according to you, you still got to have a conversation.
A conversation is going to be
happening. If it was me, I'd be like, you know what? Get my ring back if you want to be acting like.
No, you wouldn't. Because if you drop it into one knee, in that split second moment, not that I've done it from experience, but I just assume in that split second and moment, when you're proposing, you put in your all into it. And it's coming straight from the heart. And then all of a sudden, just because you're not, in your mind, you're not worried about last name and whatnot during proposing
in that moment.
In that moment.
Do you think there's ever a good reason, though, for a girl not to want to take a man's last name? Do you think there's ever a good enough reason? Like, if there was any reason, and you'd be all right, I understand that. Like, what reason would that be, if there is one?
I can't think of a... Unless you had a traumatic experience in your life where somebody had that name and you can't stand that name.
AKA your last name?
Maybe your last... I don't know. I can't really put my finger on a situation that someone... Like, what you're saying is, like, someone hates your name? Like, do they hate your last
name? If she had a valid reason for why she doesn't want to take your last name. For example, she wants to keep her father's last name. She's really close to her father, and she wants, you know, that to be her last name. She wants it to be her kid's last name. She don't want
to
take yours.
Our kids will not have her last. That's not happening. That's not even.
Is that where you draw the line?
Kids is not taking her last name. That's not.
No.
No. Absolutely not. But I mean, like I said.
You see, and this, let me tell you something. It's a good thing you said it, because this is exactly what happened to me with my parents. This is why I have my mother and my father's last name, because they was arguing over who was gonna, like, what last name I was going to have. And so, because they arguing over it, I end up stuck with both.
Well,
and my brother got two last names because of this.
But the hyphen, I mean, if you want to go that route, it's fine. For in my situation, I'm saying my last name long as hell. And if I meet somebody and their last name is super long too, not me. Well, probably me, because sometimes I'll be probably having to sign paperwork and too on her behalf or something. But like.
Oh, so you forging signatures?
Not forging signatures, but like.
You out here forging signatures, Mike? Listen. Mike out here forging signatures, y'all. I saw it.
Words in my mom,
he forging signatures,
Stop
ladies.
It.
Don't marry
Stop
him.
It.
He going to be
it.
Opening up credit cards in
go.
Your name.
Here we go. You put words in my mouth the whole show. Stop. What I'm saying is, on her, if she has to sign stuff, it might be a hassle. The names might not fit because it's super long. the names might not fit on a piece of paper, you know, legal document or something that you have to sign. You gotta write the whole name, probably try to squeeze it on
the You know below. The ones with the boxes that you gotta put each letter
exactly.
in?
Exactly. Those.
You won't run out of space.
No, she won't run out of space because my name's not gonna be hyphened. And my kids, our kids, will not go through that as well. If she wanna do that to her name, sure. You love your daddy so much. But you know the kids, you know who their daddy is? Me.
Oh my goodness. So there's no reason for her not to want to take your last name. Like, there's no valid reason. She can't do that. The kids got to have your last name. So you're telling me all you're going to do is have a conversation. I'm saying if I was a guy, I'd be like, give me my ring back then. And she'll be like, okay, I'll take it.
You're ready to dead the whole relationship off a last name? That's what you're saying? You wouldn't even have a conversation. If she say no, you're good?
Nah, I'm going to call her bluff. You know, and she gonna be like, wow. All right, I'll take it.
You calling bluffs out here.
You just gotta call the bluff. You just gotta do that.
Calling bluffs works for you. All right, you gotta just call the bluff. T-Mac likes to call bluffs.
I know you ain't talking because you out here forging signatures. At least I ain't out here opening up credit cards in my wife's name, and I'm not over here.
Since you want to get on this so much, I wasn't talking about forging a signature. Say you were signing a happy holidays card, and your wife was like, hey, honey, just sign my
name. So on a holiday card, you going to put her full? You ain't just going to say maybe, Mike and Susie? You going to put Mike blah, 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 maybe, and Susie blah, 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 hyphen blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah. To like
your supervisor or something, maybe being professional.
And even so, you gonna put y'all full last name knowing she don't have your last name, knowing there's a hyphen.
Wasn't talking about
you was talking signatures. I know what you was talking about. Mike was talking about forging signatures. Talking about writing fake checks and opening appreciate up all these Stizzle. Credit cards.
My boy Stizzle said to stand my ground. And by golly, that's what I'm going to do.
Open up all these credit cards in her name.
I'm standing by
ground. You're going to use her credit card, sign her name on the receipt as if she was the one that ordered it or was paying for it. I know what he was doing.
Look, my boy says stand my ground. That's what I shall do. I'm a gentleman. Last of a dying breed.
Listen.
I would like
stand your ground.
Girl, my fiance, my future wife to take my last name. And that's what it will be.
See? Notice how you said stand your ground, right? Mm-hmm. And if she's really adamant about keeping her last name, ain't that mean you're going to be like, all right, give my ring back?
I'm going to say it firm and with my chest poked out a couple times first.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Let me know if that works.
I sure will. But it's not even going to get to that because you're going to take my last name regardless.
Okay. All right. If you say so. Anything else in the comments that we need to add before we wrap it up?
People just jumping in, saying, you know, a lot of people agree with me.
With you?
Don't worry about the hyphen. That's too much. Don't put that on the kids. Kids shouldn't have hyphen in their name. That's too much for them. You don't want them.
That's what I'm saying.
Just like you said, you was going through that. You know what your teacher's saying, the names. Like, don't put the kids through that. Listen, don't make it tough on them.
I'm speaking from experience. Don't do it.
Well, there you go.
Ladies, don't do it. I agree, but I'm just saying, being the devil's advocate and all, you know, the role that you like to play.
I mean, someone got to just
what you going to do? Like, if it was me, I'd just be like, give me my ring back.
Well, you know, it's happy to know that you have your points of views on it. I have my points of views on it. Whether mm-hmm. we agree, disagree, the comments right. coming
and
in for
at
sure.
The end of the day, I'm not out here forging signatures, opening up credit cards on people's names. And that's really all that matters because I'm not committing that crime. All
right. Anyways, any final thoughts and words as we begin to wrap up here, T-Mac, on anything from the show or anything in
congratulations,
general?
Coco. Congratulations, Holly Bailey. Congratulations to everybody in the NBA on their new teams. Mm-hmm. And then congratulations to all the ladies taking those new last names and not keeping theirs. That's all that I got to say. You want to add anything before I take us out?
You pretty much summed it all up. Shout out to Marv. He should be back next week. We should have the trio, the real big three, the super team right here
super
in Double M.
Super team.
Ready to go next week. You know, shout out to CLNS Media. Shout out to Massive Media for sure. Wrap us up, T-Mac, as we begin to make our way.
Let me do it like how Marv do it. You know, it's your girl, T-Mac, and then you got your boy over here, Mr. Mike Nice. And you know, we taking it out every Tuesday night. Oh, tune goodness. In next week. We gonna be live 8 p.m. every single Tuesday night. Peace.
That's how it goes.
That's how Marv say it, right?
Thanks for watching, y'all. Appreciate everybody in the live stream. Double M Media signing out.
See you next week.